Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Self-control is what we're talking about today. You're going to get something out of this. And I promise you it's going to help you if you'll receive it. You see, here's what you want to do. You don't come to church to receive. You come to church to give. And when you come to church to give, now that positions you to receive. Huh? Did you get that? That's the way it works. That's a principle of the kingdom. You come to church to give, not to receive. So you don't, what's the preacher got today? Move me. No. You come to give. And when you come to give, somebody needs to hear something from you today. Out there in the narthex, something good. You hear me? Something healthy. You know, people get healed in church. When we're unified and we're functioning, people get healed in church. Really, I've been doing this. I'm going on 24 years here in this building. I'm seeing it. I know it. Now watch. Let's look at this. Self-control. Okay. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus in... Tim, can you give me Mark 1:1? I want you to look at this. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let's think about that. The beginning of the gospel. You know, this is the first place the word gospel is used. Nowhere in the Old Testament do you see the word gospel. The word gospel means good news. Jesus showed up with the gospel. Now look, give me 1:14-15. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. See that? The good news of the kingdom. Then look, this is verse 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled. What's he mean by this? They've been waiting 4,000 years for this to take place. Now Jesus shows up with the gospel. The good news. Now listen. The time is fulfilled. It's fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. You see this? At hand. What's he say next? Repent. Now listen to me. Repent isn't just about your sin. You see that? Repent isn't a bad word. It's not just about your sin. It's about changing the way you think. And a lot of times it deals with your sin. Paying attention? It's time to pay attention. Remember, if you don't pay attention, it'll cost you more than you can afford later. So pay attention. Repent, he's saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Change your mind about the kingdom. You're going to have to change the way you think if you want this kingdom to operate in your life. You see that? Let's go back to the word gospel. Good news. This is the Greek word euangelion. Spell it. Okay, I will. You ready? euangelion. I got syllables here. Euangelion. That's it right there. I told you. Euangelion. Now, the word angel is in there. Huh. Angel means messenger. So Jesus was the angel, the messenger. The one angel, the messenger here on earth with the gospel, the good news. You see that? This euangelion is where we get the word evangelist. E-V-A-N-G-E-L, angel, I-S-T, evangelist. I was an evangelist. Going in prisons and preaching for Salvation Army. You didn't know you had an angel for a pastor, did you? That's where that word comes from. But an evangelist isn't bringing his message. He's bringing Jesus' message. The good news of the gospel. You catching this? When you bring the gospel, you bring Jesus. Jesus is the gospel. The gospel isn't Mark, Matthew, Luke, John. The gospel is Jesus, and he's the messenger. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change the way you think about this kingdom. Repent, change your mind. The word repent is the word metanoia. Meta means change, noia means mind. Metanoia, it's the Greek word for repent. Now, paranoia. Para means to walk alongside or to connect with. So in other words, when you have paranoia, you're connecting with thoughts that aren't from God. Did you catch that? You're walking alongside and connecting with thoughts that didn't come from God. And that creates fear and worry and confusion. But when it's metanoia, it changes. It connects you back to God. See that? And the word repent, if you break it down, re, back to, pent, P-E-N-T, highest place. So in order to get back to the highest version of who God created you to be, it takes repentance. Why? Because his ways are higher than your ways. And his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and waters the earth, so shall my word be. It shall not return to me void, but it will prosper in the thing for which I have sent it. Then you will be led out with joy and walk in peace. You see that? That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy. When you change the way you think and line it up with his thoughts, now the kingdom of God is in you. Luke said, the kingdom of God is not out here or over there. It's within you. Now you're producing from his unconditional joy, peace, patience, kindness, joy, all that comes out of, it's outcome of him being the king over you. Catching this? Now, and you hear the gospel? It's not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's euangelion. It's Jesus, the messenger of the good news. Give me Romans 8:6. See, this is what is wrong in our world and even in church and in marriages and families and relationships. Look at this. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. The word death means separation from God. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. This word life is the word Zoe. And Zoe is the God kind of life. the life God created you for. The life when you are in His will, fulfilling His plan and purpose. You see that? That's what the Zoe life is. That's the Greek word, Z-O-A, Zoe. The Zoe life of God. And that's what we all have. And we all can possess that when we renew our minds. Now watch. To be carnally minded is death. Separates you from God. You catching this? And now the peace comes and the life when you're spiritually minded. Now, think about this. When I'm carnally minded, what am I being influenced by? Culture. Don't allow culture to help you with your relationships. Don't allow culture to help you in your marriage to have a better marriage. Don't allow culture to help you with your finances. My goodness, look at what's going on. Don't allow culture to help you in your response and your temperament towards situations and circumstances. See, when you're influenced by culture, it always separates you from what God was trying to get to you. You see that? But when I'm spiritually minded, it brings it to me. And I can live it out and walk it out. Now watch. This is where the battle is. Carnal minded is death. See, your mind is not static. There's always something going on up there. It's either being influenced by culture, and if you're a believer, by the Holy Spirit. You make the choice. Did you hear me? Who makes the choice? We do. That's why there must be a renewing of the mind. When we renew our minds, now we can get to God's will. You see that? Give me Isaiah 33:6 first, and then we'll go to, I want you to pay attention, because this is the word of God. Amen? This is what we need. Now look, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. You see that? Now, listen to me. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. Now, pay attention. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. God is trying to help you with your salvation. The word salvation means to rescue, to deliver, to make whole. See that? To bring peace. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. How many times do people get saved, baptized, and it gets a little tough, and you don't see them anymore? Huh? This is what we got to be aware of. We got to be getting a hold of those people and finding what's going on. Because if they'll hang in there, they get to the wholeness, the well-being, the discovering of their true identity. You see that? The higher version of who God created them to be. You see that? It only happens in the church. God designed the church. That's where it takes place. Well, I don't like church. All they are is a bunch of hypocrites. We're all hypocrites. But we all need help. Jesus didn't come for the healed. He came for the sick. Huh? We all need help. And we need help. And God uses people. He will use people who've been through something to help you with your deal. Now watch. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. Isaiah's prophecies all have come true. Every one of them. Jesus on the cross, the resurrection, every prophecy he prophesied has come true. Are you catching this? This is talking about now. You want stability? You're going to have to get God's wisdom. You see this? Now think about this. In 1 Corinthians 1:7, it says, but we speak, or 2:7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for your glory. For your glory. Not God's glory. Your glory. What's the word glory? What God originated and intended. You need His wisdom to become what He originally created you to be. You see, This is what we need. We need wisdom. I used to work for Miles Laboratories before I became a pastor. I worked with scientists. I worked with, some smart people, engineers, PhDs. They'd be in the lab talking all these equations and all that. And I'm thinking, what? Smart. Growing germs and, putting them in things and growing stuff and it's selling and make, it's still going strong. Still going strong. Can't make it fast enough because it's biotechnology. But now pay attention. I was working with them. They're getting divorced. Kids don't want to talk to them. But they're intelligent. Are you listening to me? They got degrees, PhDs, all this. See, your intelligence doesn't mean anything to God. His wisdom isn't based on your IQ. You see that? His wisdom is his wisdom. When you got that, you got a treasure. Are you hearing me? You don't need intelligence. We need his wisdom. Are you getting that? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I worked with some brainiacs. And I remember the guy that brought me the gospel in where I worked. He was a janitor. He worked as a janitor, second shift, happy. And he would share the gospel with me. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want nothing to do with it. He started telling me, you need to be born again. I said, what's wrong? You didn't get it right the first time? You need to be born again. Oh. So one day he came in whistling down the hallway. Here he comes again. This is at Miles Laboratories where I used to work 40 years ago. Now listen. So he comes in. I heard him whistling. I run out. I was in the beta grass where all these graphs are that monitor all this analytical equations and percentages of the material that's going through the system. And I was one that I always had to run tests on it in this little lab and stuff. And so I got out, and I went out and started acting like I was busy. And I waited and waited, and I thought, well, he's gone now. So I go back in, and he peeps around the corner. He has a Bible. He's, I brought you something. And it really did. It touched my heart because I was being rude to him. I thought, gosh. I said, oh, okay. I said, I'll read it, but I'm going to drink a quart of beer with it when I read it. He goes, I don't care if you drink 2 quarts. He says, just read it. I said, well, maybe. And so we talked, and he went on. I went home that night. I stopped at the King Quick and got me a quart of beer. That was my habit. And so I got me a quick quart, and I went home. And it was 11:30, 12 o'clock. I walked in the house, and I had a habit. I'd watch Johnny Carson and drink my beer. First thing I do is I look at my family sleeping. And I sat in my chair. I flipped on the TV, and the 700 Club was on there. I've never watched the 700 Club in my life. I got this Bible and this quart of beer. And this guy started talking, and I stood up. And the next thing, he's telling me what the janitor was telling me. You need to be born again. And he started speaking. I start crying. Next thing I know, I'm on my knees, and I'm just asking Jesus to come into my heart. And he came in, and I was born again. I was bawling like a baby. I couldn't even control it. And I stood up, what am I going to do now? How am I going to explain this to everybody? That's what I said. And so I stood up, and then I took the beer, and I put it in the trash. And I had some Winston cigarettes in my pocket. I put them in the trash. You know what came in my mind? I can't be blowing smoke in people's face and talking about them needing to be born again. That came in my mind. Threw them in the trash. Haven't touched them since. Over 40 years ago. Hallelujah. I know it doesn't happen that way with everybody, but it did with me, okay? And so I threw the beer. I haven't touched that in over 40 years. And so I go back and I sit in my chair and I open that Bible. And my eyes went on Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 7. I read that. That's the first thing my eyes went, opened it, just random. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, for it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. I said, this thing's alive. I went and I wrote that down on a little notepad that I had from work because I always had these little equations and these percentages I had to come up with. In my testing, and I wrote those scriptures down. I went to work the next day, and I said, you need to be born again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Right. Lean not on your own understanding. And these people are going, what has happened to him? And then the personnel manager's calling me up on the, everything all right down there? It's like I was trying to get everybody saved. And then my family thought I had a nervous breakdown. Oh, man, he's done now. He's got what his mom has. I'm trying to help you see something. I got drunk in the seventh grade with my friends in the neighborhood, and we got some people to buy us some beer. Next thing I know, I'm drinking. I mean, I was wanting me some beer. Eighth grade, ninth grade, all through high school. In ninth grade and 10th grade, I got chosen as the homecoming court. You know what that is? You know, you're kind of popular. I'm out on the football field in this Corvette sitting in the back. I'm half trashed out there. You know, I'm drunk. You know what I mean? It's like, isn't that silly? Here's my point. That became a medication for my dysfunction at home, my pain. You hear me? That was a stronghold in my life. I could not visualize myself having a good time without alcohol. I thought, you got to have beer. I mean, you get with your guys, you got to have beer. No. When I was 25, I threw that beer down. I've had more fun in the Holy Spirit than I've ever had. I'm having fun right now. Well, now look, drunk on the Holy Spirit. You can be drunk on anything. That just means to overindulge, right? But now look, that was a stronghold in my life. See, that's what a stronghold is. It's a fortress. It's a fortress in your life. It comes from pain, or it comes from your parents, how your parents raised you. Patterns of thinking that build fortresses in your life that when truth tries to come in, you don't let it in. That's why when Charlie was trying to tell me the truth, I had all this stuff that I learned from my parents. Ah, that's not for me. What are you, born again? Well, you didn't get it right the first time? See, I was arguing against, he's trying to bring the truth in. I had a fortress, a stronghold. A stronghold's not something that has a stronghold on you. A stronghold is a pattern from your parents or from pain. See, a stronghold's not a habit. A stronghold is a fortress in you. Now listen, go with me to 2 Timothy, or 2nd, I looked at Tim, and it's not Timothy, it's 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. Remember, when we're carnally minded, we're influenced by culture. You see that? Warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds. Now look, give me the next one. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. What brings you stability in these times? Wisdom and knowledge. God is trying to get his wisdom and knowledge to you. And because you don't want to change, you have strongholds in your life that are keeping out what he's trying to get into because you don't want to renew your mind. When you renew your mind, it pulls them strongholds down and the truth comes in and the wisdom comes in. And now I discover who I am. And now I want to be in the will of God and I'm pursuing him with everything I have. That's good. That's an amen. That's a slap in the devil's face. Are you listening to me? That's how it is, folks. Now look, every high, what's it coming against? The knowledge of God. He's trying to get into your life. You got to bring those strongholds down. I swear to God, I used to think, how can you enjoy life without a 12-pack on the weekend? You know what I'm saying? I had somebody come up to me. They said, when you said in the first service, they said, when you said that, he says, that's me. He goes, that's me. He says, he goes, you were just talking right to me. He goes, I tell myself all the time, I can't see. He goes, I want to be saved. He came up to me and I want to be saved and I want to be baptized. Are you listening to that? Only God can do that. Because I broke the stronghold. Now, see, now it helps break it in other people's lives. Are you getting that? Come on, are you getting that? And he came and he wanted, and we prayed up here, and now he's going to get baptized. Am I making sense? Yeah. Young man, you see, when you break it in your life, God will put power on your life to break it in other people's lives. Folks, listen to me. All right. So he's trying to get this knowledge and this wisdom into your life. This is what we have to do. We have to get connected in a place where the word of God is going out. The church. You see that? You're not going to hear this in every church. Some churches like to make you feel good. I'm telling you, I learned a long time ago, making yourself feel good is not good for you. Sometimes you need to be uncomfortable. Amen? And when you begin to let that happen and renew your mind, you begin to see the will of God in your life. And you don't want anything else because you know that you know that you know you are doing and fulfilling the will of God and you are helping others fulfill it in their life. Give me Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by what? By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You've heard that. Look up, for your redemption draws hot nigh. That's talking about your redemption of your body. See, our bodies haven't been redeemed. Our soul and our spirit has been redeemed. But now our body. And see, we got to get our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions lined up with our spirit. And that's what salvation is. God is lining it all up. And he's getting ready to bring a resurrection to your body. One day we're going to fly out of here. Amen? Am I making sense? When Jesus comes back. And we're going to rule in the new heaven and the new earth because you've renewed your mind. You see that? This is what's going on. Now, pay attention. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Mercy is I'm not giving you what you deserve. So God, he says we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Where once we were not a people of God, we didn't used to be a people of God, but now we have become a people of God, and now we have received mercy. 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 I'm not giving you what you deserve. And now, when you understand that, you want to give people mercy. When you understand how much God has given you mercy, you want to give that to people. You don't want to give them what they deserve. You don't give them ugly when they treat you ugly. You give them love and kindness back. Am I making sense? Now look, and you're willing to sacrifice for it. You sacrifice now, a living sacrifice. Holy. Holy means integrity. It means whole. It means you got things integrated, working in connection with God. You see, that's what holy means. Whole. Holy. Now watch. Give me the next verse. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. He says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't let culture form you. Do not be conformed to this world. The word conformed means to be pressed into a mold. Don't let the world press you into something you're not.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.